Kia ora, welcome to Faith Matters. It's you're listening to Marie, and we've got Denise coming in the studio soon, and we have our storyteller Annette going to join us, and she's going to be telling us a story about "You Are Special" by Max Lucado. I'm really looking forward to this. It's an amazing little story, and we can learn a lot from it. We didn't have Pastor's Corner today because Pastor is away on holiday enjoying the sunshine and getting some good rest, I'm sure. But we've got a great show coming up, so stay tuned. It's going to be a good one.
Doesn't know what I'm talking about. Who's never left home, who's never struck out to find a dream and a life of their own. A place in the clouds, a foundation of stone. Many precede and many will follow. A young girl's dreams no longer hollow. It takes the shape of a place out west, but what it holds for her, she hasn't yet guessed. She needs wide open spaces, room to make a big mistake. She needs new faces. She knows the highest stakes. This road as a child, wide-eyed and grinning, she never tired. But now she won't be coming back with the rest. If these are life's lessons, she'll take this. Folks drive away, her dad yells, check the oil. Mom stares out the window and says, I'm leaving my girl. She said it didn't seem like that long ago when she stood there and let her own.
Oh, Mountain looks too great. Love's got a way. Oh, 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 oh.
Love does have a way, and I think I left my mic on through that, so if you heard bits and pieces, oh well. There you go. I have to listen back to hear what you heard. So welcome to the studio, Denise.
Hello.
What were we talking about? Oh no. You probably heard nothing, so there you go. You'll have to listen back to find out. So we have Annette, like I said, we've got Annette, our storyteller, coming in pretty soon. She's just arrived. That's really great. So we're going to set her up. But how are you, Denise?
Yeah, I'm doing great.
It's a beautiful day.
It is. It's lovely. Blue sky, blue sea, they match.
And we're matching. We've got denim on today. It's hot out there. This is a great place to be in Whangaroa. We are by the glorious sea, but always be careful in it too. We need to be careful in that water out there. It's a bit warm. The sharks are around. That's what I'm thinking about. I'm like, oh, okay. But hey, great place to be nonetheless. Any words of wisdom? Oh, I just put you on the spot again. Denise, before we head into a song and set...
I was just thinking as I walked in, I saw your piece of paper there saying Annette's story is going to be called You Are Special. And my blog this morning, I did on actually your own value. And so I think that's going to be a really interesting morning or afternoon as we talk about, your contribution to this earth and your value.
Yeah, this is going to be a good one. I'm looking forward to it. We've got a lot to unpack.
Lifting up my heart, lifting up my heart. If you can come and rage, say, you can come and soar.
You're listening to Marie and Denise and now Annette on 98.1 FM, Raglan Community Radio, Faith Matters. Welcome, Annette.
Thank you.
Yes, here you are. It is so good to have you back in the studio. You've been away for a while. You've been doing lots of things all over the place, haven't you?
I have. I've been in and out of Raglan and now back for a little while, so yeah.
And you've got family with you?
We have, yes. Yes, our six grandchildren. We've had a wonderful time over the last little while getting together and hanging out, and all of the cousins playing, or as the three-year-old says, all of the tuzzins. She likes playing with her tuzzins.
Oh, they're youngies, aren't they? Young people.
Yeah, very young, yes.
Yeah. It's great to have family over, isn't it? A lot of work, though, eh? Come on, let's be honest about that one. But it is worth it all the time, and in this heat, probably even more. Totally. So I've got Annette in here today because, because I really love her storytelling. I think she's really good at speaking stories out. And there's a book here that we're particularly interested in, which is called You Are Special by Max Licardo. And this book, I came across this book many years ago. It was read to us. It's really a kid's book, but it's definitely an adult's book too. There's so much in this about the conditions that people put on us and how we see ourselves and how that translates to the world around us. So I'm going to hand over to Annette, and she's going to read us this beautiful story, and then we're going to unpack it a bit and have a look at what it means in our lives as we hear this beautiful tale, Annette. Yeah.
Thank you. So I am reading You Are Special by Max Licardo. The Wemmicks were small wooden people carved by a woodworker named Eli. Each Wemmick was different. Some had big noses, others had large eyes, some were tall, and others were short. Each Wemmick had a box of golden star stickers and grey dot stickers. The wooden people went around the village sticking stars or dots on one another. The pretty ones got stars. The Wemmicks with rough wood or chipped paint got dots. The talented ones got stars too. Some could jump over tall boxes or sing pretty songs. Others, though, could do little. They got dots. Punchinello was one of these. He tried to jump high like the others, but he always fell, so the Wemmicks would give him dots. When he tried to explain why he fell, he would say something silly, so the Wemmicks would give him more dots. He deserves lots of dots, the wooden people would say. After a while, Punchinello believed him. I guess I'm not a good Wemmick, he decided, so he stayed inside most of the time. When he did go outside, he hung around other Wemmicks who had lots of dots. He felt better around them. One day he met a different kind of Wemmick named Lucia. She had no dots or stars. The Wemmicks admired Lucia for having no dots, so they would give her a star, but it would fall off. Others gave her a dot for having no stars, but it wouldn't stay on either. That's the way I want to be, thought Punchinello. So he asked Lucia how she did it. It's easy, she replied. Every day I go visit Eli the woodcarver. Why? You'll find out if you go and see him. Then Lucia turned and skipped away. But will he want to see me? Punchinello wondered. Later at home he sat and watched the wooden people giving each other stars and dots. It's not right, he muttered to himself. And he decided to go and see Eli. Punchinello walked up the narrow path and stepped into Eli's shop. His eyes grew big. The stool was as tall as he was. He had to stretch on tiptoe to see the top of the workbench. Punchinello swallowed hard. I'm not staying here. Then he heard his name. Punchinello. The voice was deep and strong. How good to see you. Come, let me have a look at you. Punchinello looked up. You know my name? Of course. I made you. Eli picked him up and set him on the bench. Looks like you've been given some bad marks, said the maker. I didn't mean to, Eli. I really tried hard. Punchinello, I don't care what the other Wemmicks think. You don't? No, you shouldn't either. What they think doesn't matter. All that matters is what I think, and I think you are pretty special. Punchinello laughed. Me? Special? Why? I'm not very good. I'm not very talented, and my paint is peeling. Why do I matter to you? Eli spoke very slowly. Because you're mine. That's why you matter to me. Punchinello didn't know what to say. Every day I've been hoping you'd come, Eli explained. I came because I met Lucia, said Punchinello. Why don't the stickers stay on her? The maker spoke softly. Because she has decided that what I think is more important than what others think. The stickers only stick if you let them. What? The stickers only stick if they matter to you. The more you trust my love, the less you care about their stickers. I'm not sure I understand. Eli smiled. You will, but it will take time. For now, come and see me every day and let me remind you how much I care. Eli lifted Punchinello off the bench and set him down on the ground. Remember, Eli said as Punchinello was leaving, you are special because I made you and I don't make mistakes. Punchinello didn't stop, but in his heart he thought, I think he really means it. And when he did, a dot fell to the ground.
Wow. There we go. Listen, I'm going to play a song and we're going to come back and we're going to unpack this story a little bit because we want to see what happens when our dots fall to the ground.
Top, just like a rocket taking off. You got me high, I'm flying in a dream. Got me feeling like a one. And after everything you've done, just let me take this little moment to say that you're so special.
So special to me. Now special, special.
Indeed you are. We're all kind of special in our own ways, aren't we?
Mm.
We are, Annette. And here we are, Denise. You're special.
Oh, thanks,
Marie. I wouldn't put a dot on you at all, ever. Or you, Annette.
Oh, thank you, thank all you.
Right, that's good. There we go. So, Annette, tell me a little bit about what this story... I mean, I know what it means for me, but tell me what it means for you.
Oh, well, I really love this story. I think it's a beautiful sort of allegory, you know, a story at a child's level and a story very much at an adult's level too. That, what a wonderful message that, you know, who do you listen to and whose opinion matters? And it's kind of like a lifelong task that we have, learning to listen to the right voices and learning to want to matter to the right people. And in my life, it was a real dramatic time that I had when I was about 16 or so, about maybe 16, 17, when I was trying hard to be popular. You know, the most important thing in my life was to be popular with the girls, definitely popular with the boys. You know, I just wanted them to like me, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted them, everybody to think that I was fun and happy and, you know, cool and all that sort of thing. But in fact, I was trying to be a lot louder and more outgoing than I actually am. And then I became a Christian. I met the Lord. I invited him into my life. And suddenly I found out what he thought of me. And I had this amazing relationship with him. And suddenly his opinion was the most important opinion for me. And I didn't care anywhere near as much anymore about what others thought. And it was so freeing. It was just absolutely amazing.
Wow. Tell me a little bit about what you know about his opinion of you.
Well, I guess what I learnt then was that he accepted me as I was, that I didn't have to try to be different. I didn't have to try to be anything. I just needed to accept his love and listen to him and to listen to his voice in my head and his voice to my heart and to please him. You know, there's a beautiful saying that goes like this. It says, learn to live for an audience of one. And that audience is God. And, you know, really from that moment, I mean, I've certainly, it's a lifelong journey and I haven't got there yet. But the most important opinion to me since that time has been God's opinion and, you know, what he thinks, what he values, you know, what's important to him. And I know that his values, you know, are way more important than what I had previously thought.
Mm. That's interesting in this book, Denise, where they put all the dots. It's the dots that caught me. I heard this story read by Bridget. No, neither of you would know Bridget. Bridget was in our church, gosh, probably 20-odd years ago, and she brought this story to read to the kids. And I don't know why I was a part of it, because I wasn't a kid, but I heard the story and I just cried and cried and cried, because I felt like I was that little guy that had all those dots on there, you know, all these opinions about who I was, and what I could be, and all the things I probably couldn't be too. I felt like I was carrying, I mean, if I could imagine those dots on me, I don't think I could have seen out of the dots. There were that many on me. I wouldn't have been able to see anything. And so in the story, when the little guy goes to his maker and, you know, his maker says, you know, I love you, you know, you're amazing, or he speaks well into him and, you know, one of the dots falls off. It was that bit that impacted
yes.
me
yeah,
so
yeah.
much, because I'd never thought about losing the opinions of other people. I thought I would carry that all my life.
Yes.
And I hadn't heard any other opinion that was encouraging or life-giving. And when I became a Christian, those dots certainly didn't fall off. They were stuck there, pretty like concrete. It took a long time. So I think when the first one did drop off. I felt it.
Yeah.
I felt, and I guess how I'd, a picture I'd put around that is like a hardened heart that suddenly could feel. And I felt the encouragement of what somebody else had said to me, and I received it. And so there might have been people in my life trying to encourage me while I was carrying all those dots around, but I couldn't receive any of that because of all the conditions and how I felt about myself placed on me. You know, I couldn't see any good, really, or didn't really even think like that.
Yeah.
So for me, it was about feeling for the first time to actually allow something in and nourish me and believe it. Yeah.
Yes. Oh, that's a beautiful story. Yeah, that's wonderful. Yeah, I think for me, it was suddenly, I don't care what you think, you know, and that was so freeing. It didn't matter. I didn't have to be in the in group. And I didn't have to be loud or you know, extra outgoing or anything like that to be accepted. You know, I could just be me. And to be happy to be just me was the most freeing thing, knowing God's made me, He loves me, He accepts me as I am. Plenty to work on, you know. It's not that you reach like your perfection or anything like that, but that acceptance, that unconditional acceptance, is the most freeing thing. Yeah, it's just incredible.
One thing I think is really interesting is how it's not that the dots stopped getting placed on people. It was that just that the dots didn't stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we can't actually impact other people's views of us.
Yeah.
But we can decide whether or not their view is what we focus on or whether we actually just let it go.
Exactly, yeah. And the same goes for the stars too. You know, when people did something in the story, when you know, people did something really well, people would put stars on them. You know, and that I think, you know, sort of speaks to our society that where we kind of semi-worship, you know, the movie stars and sports stars and that kind of thing. And in fact, they're just people that can do something really well, which is great because we enjoy that. But that puts a huge pressure on them too.
Mm.
So, stars and spots, you know, stars and dots, they really, you know, they both can have quite a negative effect on us.
Yeah, they can impact us. You know, I like, you know, when we talk about our Maker for us as Christians in this book, it's alluring to God as our Maker. And as Christians, I say that word, as Christians, it's not as though we're set apart, well, we are in some ways, but from everyone else, it's just that we know something that has really impacted our life, and it's been an impact that has been for the better of who we are. And so when I think about also this, us as individuals, what often I like to say to people is that, you know, we've got to realise and remember how unique we are. There is nobody in the world like Denise or Annette or me.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're one-offs.
Yeah.
Where you can't replace us. Even if we had a twin and that was an identical twin, there are still going to be differences to that person. So even if you're an identical twin, you are still completely unique to who you are. And so when we go and try and change things about ourselves and the things that we think that other people might not like, or, you know, our way of being, we start to try and be somebody we're not. And our sense of happiness can be disturbed by that, because when we're trying to be somebody we're not, we're extending a lot of energy into an area that we don't actually know a lot about. We have to look at somebody else to get the information from. You know, we're not looking at ourselves, and so we're really disconnecting from who we are and this beautiful, beautiful uniqueness that we have. For me, you know, often I find myself to be an awkward person. I'm not always on point, or I might say words, get them mixed up, or sometimes I say things out of line and It's out my mouth before I've thought about it. And it still should be back in my head. Did that just enter out of my mouth? Well, yes, it did. You know, and sometimes we've got to just celebrate our uniqueness, our awkwardness, our specialness in who we are, because it is who we are.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, totally.
I actually had probably my experience of really learning to just be myself was when my kids were sort of at that stage where they were self-conscious. And you know how you get embarrassed of your parents, embarrassed of your mother? And I can remember my son starting to try and tone me down, and I had just learned to be myself. And I actually had to say to them, look, guys, I'm really sorry, but I am just learning to be myself. And so I know that I might be really embarrassing, but you're actually just going to have to deal with it, because I've spent all these years not being myself, and now that I am, I'm not going to change it just so that I don't embarrass you. I'm really sorry.
Yeah, that's so cool. I think you're right,
too. Because I was just like, I can't have now learnt this and go back to tiptoeing around on eggshells because my kids are at that stage.
I think the thing is, it's so freeing when you decide that the dots and the stars don't matter. You know, it's not that, you know, they're not great, you know, to get a star. It's not dreadful to get a dot. They just don't matter, and people do put them on you, and they will probably try and put them on others all their lives. That's the way the world works. But it doesn't matter, and you are absolutely free, just free to be you, free to be Denise, free to be who you were created to be, Marie says, totally unique, and are free to just relax and enjoy life.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah, it is. And we're going to go into this beautiful song by Leanna Crawford, Simple.
Take a breath, the camera's off. You don't have to hide the fact we're all messed up. I know you think one more bad move and God will finally wash his hands of you. Ooh, hold on. There couldn't be more wrong. There's no such thing as too far gone with God. Nothing you can do to earn your spot. Nowhere you can go where he's not. No, it all sounds unbelievable, but believe me, it's that simple. The devil lies and twists the truth. Working hard to make you think it's all on you. So you play the part till you're exhausted. And when you fall, he's there to tell you that you lost it. Ooh, hold on. That could. There's no such thing as too far gone with God. Nothing you can do to earn your spot. Nowhere you can go where he is not. No, it all sounds unbelievable, but believe me, it's that simple. take a breath. The camera's off. You don't have to hide the fact we're all messed up.
Yeah, that's a beautiful song. It's got some great words in there. Words of wisdom. We don't have to worry about being all messed up because we're probably not as messed up as we think we are. So, Annette, thank you so much for coming in and reading to us.
You're welcome.
Yeah, it's a beautiful story. And we're definitely going to be having you back. Probably once a month I'm thinking about having a little story on here we can unpack that. Yeah, these things, I think, if we think about it, can bring a point of difference into our life.
Yeah, definitely. We learn a lot, don't we? Yeah, and storytelling is one of the best ways of communicating.
It is. Yes. So thank you. Go home to your family.
Thank you very much for inviting me, Marie. Lovely to be with you and Denise, as always. And I will see you again.
You will. Sounds great. And are you going to go swimming today?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm going swimming today. Are you going swimming today, Denise?
No.
Okay. Well, you know what? That doesn't matter because you're unique and do what you like. It's okay. All right. So let's go into the truth here.
How many times can you hear the same lie before you start to believe it? The enemy keeps whispering to me, swear these days it's all that I'm hearing. I used to know who I was, now I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my father's child, I make him proud. Truly loved by a God who's good when I'm not good enough. I don't belong to the lies, I belong to you. And that's the truth. When I feel like there's so much noise living rent free in my head, heaven finds me in a still small voice and it sounds like grace instead. You remind me who I am when I look in the mirror and I'm not so sure. Lord, I don't want to listen to the lies anymore. The truth is I am my father's child, I made. The truth is I am my father's child. I make him proud and I make him smile. I was made in the image of a perfect king. He looks at me and wouldn't change a thing. The truth is I am truly. Mm-hmm.
used to dream about the future and pray for things I thought I wanted.
High expectations.
Been disappointed with the outcome. Lost 2 hours in the process.
Chains that held me down, I've changed so much from then to now. The only way to fill that hole is to give up all my control.
Watched all my plans slip through my hands. I can see them picture perfect. Lord knows I deserved it. But when things fall apart, like a weight on my heart, the world will keep on turning. But I'll never stop learning. Learning to let go.
Fire to my freedom. I'm not wasting any moments.
No hesitation.
I found myself in new horizons. Learned to love myself completely. And I feel like the real me. Whoa.
Breaking chains that held me down. I've changed so much from then to now. The only way to fill that hole is to give up all my control.
Watched all my plans slip through my hands. I can see them picture perfect. Lord knows I deserved it. But when things fall apart, like a weight on my heart, the world will keep on turning. But I'll never stop learning. Learning to let go.
All my plans slip through my hands. I can see them picture perfect. Lord knows I deserved it. But when things fall apart, like a weight on my heart, the world will keep on turning. But I'll never stop learning. Learning to let go.
Ooh, yeah, that's a goodie, hey, Denise?
I love the fact that you sang the last line of the song. I'm not sure if that got on air or not, but it was beautiful.
Thank you. So Denise's blog this week, I haven't actually had the time to read it, but I'm going to catch up with it real quick because it dovetails into the story that we had just read to us by Annette, the lovely Annette. And the heading of your blog this week is called Writing Rats Into Your Story. Like, is it? Okay. And then it's got You Offer Something Unique. Oh, it's such a good word, that word. Yes. Tell me a little bit about this.
So last year when I was travelling with my mum and my sister, we went and we visited Beatrix Potter's house in the Lake Districts. And when I was there, they had these different sort of signs up around her house and in her garden, and they'd show an illustration from one of her books or they'd show a part of one of her stories, and you could see that the picture in her story was exactly what you're standing in front of in her garden.
Oh, wow.
So there's one where there was like a green gate with the rhubarb patch, and then you're standing there going, oh my gosh, there's the rhubarb patch, there's the gate. Inside there was this sign that said when she first bought that house, apparently it was rat infested. And so she started writing rats into her story because that was just what she's experiencing in her day to day. And so she brought it into her creative work and told stories about it. So, I mean, you know, when we have a rat infested house, we might not want to A, publicise that fact, B, think it's cute, and all we could potentially be doing is like whinging about the fact that we've got a rat infested house. But I mean, I'm sure she tried to deal with the rats, but she didn't like minimise or try and kind of keep it quiet, brush under the carpet. She actually used that experience to enhance her writing. So when I put writing rats into your story, what I'm really talking about is that all of us have stuff that to us is just everyday, oh, that just happened, or just mundane things that happen to us that we just think is normal. It's just part of life. Why would anybody want to hear about it? Because it's just the way it is. And yet someone who's looking in from a different perspective sees that part of our story and goes, oh my goodness, what was, you know, how did you get through that? Or, you know, tell me about what happened. Or you can bring comfort or you can bring joy to someone who's going through something maybe later on, once you've worked through whatever their issue is. Yeah, we don't have to hide those rats necessarily.
So, you know, and yeah, it is interesting, eh? Because, you know, most of us would go, we would not tell anyone we had rats in our house, that's for sure, because the opinions that would come, you're probably like, oh, you've got a dirty home, or yeah, basically it's unclean, you know. And yet rats, you know, at certain times of the year, they will try and find their way in like mices. And
yes, absolutely.
If there's great food in there. But hey, it was about her using what was in her environment, and she didn't feel embarrassed by it. She actually made money from it.
Well, that's true. I hadn't gone that far. But yes,
she did. She did a great thing there. She wrote it into her stories. And I wonder what we're missing from our own story, what we leave out sometimes in the stories that we tell, because part of our story might not be so palatable for someone else to hear. It's interesting because I've been thinking about writing. I'm always saying this, Denise, but I've still got to write my book.
Yeah.
And I think because I've been thinking about it so much, a lot of different times in my life have been coming forward, and not all of them, actually most of them aren't very pleasant, Denise. And I think, well, how can I write about that, you know, because that's going to be quite disturbing for somebody else to read. But, you know, our lives, they roll out who we are. And I guess in our faith, you know, if I had stayed where I was in my earlier years, I've often said this, I don't think I would have survived. So, you know, telling my story and rolling out who I am today, it feels worlds away. Mm-hmm. In fact, it feels like a different person. I was saying to my husband last night, it just feels like two different people.
Right.
But it's not two different people.
Mm.
And I can't even believe I survived it.
Yeah.
Or lived through it, or here I am to tell the tale.
Yeah.
You know, and you don't even know what the tale is anyway.
Yeah, so, but or being able to tell the tale, because somebody who's had a really rough background, you know, often it's too much to talk about.
And for many years, for me, it was too much to talk about, and I wouldn't have shared my story with anybody. But, I've done a lot of healing, Denise. Mm. I'm just not sure everyone else has healed enough to hear it. That's the truth. I worry about other people. I'm not worried about me, so don't worry about me worrying about me. I'm worried about you. Once I write the story, there may be no going back.
But it's important. I think that, you know, we need to have a voice, and we need to be able to talk about our story. I've talked with people who have sort of been shut down and been told, oh, you keep this quiet, and actually it's not healthy. It doesn't help them at all. And although others are just trying to potentially protect other people from what is a gnarly story, the reality is that whether it's a gnarly story or a sweet story, there'll be some people who can hear it and there'll be others who can't. There'll be some people who appreciate it, there'll be others who won't. Like, no matter what we present, no matter who we are, we're never going to make everybody happy. And I guess that's evidenced in the story that we've just had about, you know, you might get given stars, you might get given dots by these other people, but the reality is that's not what matters.
No, and as I've learnt in my journey, in my faith journey, what really matters is actually what God thinks of me.
Mm-hmm.
And how do I know that? Because I've read his word, and not only that, I have a relationship with him, and I'm very assured of his love for his creation.
Yeah.
And I'm part of his creation. I know that he loves what he created. And so I feel a lot of safety in that. But I liked what you're talking about with the dots and the stars. I just wanted to pick up the stars a little bit. You know, I've also had people speak into my life, you know, oh, you're really good at this or you're really good at that, right? I can't remember what it was so long ago.
Oh, listen to it.
There we go. But I remember when I first started getting encouragement or people saw good things in me and I was starting to believe it, is that I gravitated towards making that even more so.
Right.
You know, yep. Because I didn't know any better. I didn't know, well, that's not the complete me. There's more to me than just what they're seeing in that moment.
Yeah.
And so because I was trying to find footing in this new foundation that was happening in my life, I would just like, oh, they said that about me. Yay, I must do that.
Right.
Well, they said this, so I must do that. Mm. You know, and I was running around doing a whole lot of things, and really good stuff too, but really I was trying to discover me amongst all these broken pieces and all these dots and few little stars, half stars maybe, that I'd accumulated along the way, mostly dots. So yeah, this I'm a big one on our uniqueness. And just another little thought to go with that is, you know, when you look at a Picasso painting and it's a one-off and the value of it is like millions of dollars and everyone wants it because it's, you know, you can't recreate that. The guy's dead and gone, well and truly. And, you know, the value of it is just skyrockets. Well, you know, so are we. We're even more valuable than that painting because we're human and we're alive and we're living this life and we get one shot.
Mm.
And here we are, uniquely being ourselves. So why on earth would we want to be anyone else?
Yeah.
I see you, child, though you can't see me. And I know your thoughts before you even think. I heard every last prayer you prayed, though I answered all the time. You just didn't hear my reply. And I know it's not easy. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. Cause the darker the night gets, the brighter the light is. Don't you give up on me. Don't you give up on me. You ain't seen what I promised. Child, we're just getting started. I'll be your way when there's no way out. And I'll be your strength when your strength runs out. And if you walk into the fire, I'll be right there in the flames. I wouldn't have it any other way. It's loving you. Seen what I promised.
You're listening to Maria and Denise on Faith Matters. We had Annette in the studio this morning. She read us a beautiful story from You Are Special by Max Licardo. If you missed that, I encourage you to hunt down that book. You can. It's actually up at our library at the Surfside office, so if you ever, if you can't find it, you're welcome to ask one of us and we can get it for you. But the story in there is very beautiful about our uniqueness and the dots and the stars that people put on us in our lifetime about opinions or who they think we are. And then we moved into Denise's blog, which is, what's the name of it, Denise?
Something Riding Rats. Rats Into Your Story.
There we go. And this is all about Beatrice Potter, and when she Denise was overseas, she went into her beautiful garden, and her blog is all about this. And in here, in part of her blog, she's got when we put on a mask and pretend to be someone else, we rob the world of what we were created to offer. I really like that because often we hear things around the hats we wear. You know, you hear that in your you may hear that in your job, you know, the different hats we wear in different situations. It's sort of like that, you know, the masks we put on. And sometimes we can put the mask on in different situations to pretend to be something we're not. Maybe we're feeling uncomfortable in the place we are in or around people that we don't feel that confident around, and we try and be somebody to, you know, perform and come to the mark. And it takes a lot of work and effort, and, you know, I think the few times I might have done that, I got it terribly wrong anyway, because I find it really difficult to be anyone than me, because as soon as I laugh, I'm back to being me. I've got one of those laughs, and I've got one of those voices, and when I'm naturally being me, it's usually I'm quite cheeky, and I'm, you know, say things, I laugh a lot, and you know, I'm a bit of a jokester, really. And in serious situations, it's not always,
It's funny that you mention laugh, because I've been through all sorts. When I was a teenager, I went through different phases of laughs, and I had like even like at one point that was my laugh.
I would have loved that, Denise.
And so when you say
we would have laughed so much, we would not have stopped if that was the case.
Sorry. So I'm a little bit like that just brings back all sorts of different phases of my growing up years.
I've listened to things online about, you know, when somebody's laughing and somebody's doing that real snorty laugh, and then somebody's doing an outward laugh as they're snorting in it, and I'm like, oh, I love this.
I think I went through all those stages. I'm not sure why.
So good. So why would we want to put a mask on to hide that? But, you know, often we do, especially in situations, maybe jobs and stuff like that. And there's, sometimes we do need to put on a bit of an exterior, because it's just the work that we do. And, you know, when we go home, we take our shoes off and take the work clothes off and go, now I can just be me.
Well, sometimes experience and wisdom leads you that, you know, in certain circumstances it would be better to just hold your tongue and be able to think about it, or but it doesn't necessarily change who you are. That's just you adapting and being behaving in an appropriate way for a different situation. But yeah, I'm in the blog I talk about, you know, you might sort of have labels that people have put on you, whether you're the joker or whether you're the organizer or whether you're the messy pup that everybody has to clean up after, or the tidy freak. Whatever it might be, there's all sorts of different labels that we can put on each other. And sometimes our relationships with other people actually are because of the way that we behave. So if we're the messy one and there's someone who sort of feels compelled to clean up after people, they might have this interaction with you and it might not always be positive. They might grumble and, you know, try and make you feel bad as they do it, or maybe they do it with joy.
Not often.
But as you, like, say if you're that messy pup, I for sure most of my life, I've been a great big messy pup. But now, with the kids left home and there's only two of us in the house, I'm like, yep.
I'm Miss Clean Freak.
Yeah, I'm actually one way or the other. And I always have been one way or the other. Like, when I was young, if Mum went away for a few days, I would clean the house top to bottom and have it just so.
Oh, wow.
By the time she got back, and I was always like, oh, Mum's back, it's going to be messy again. But not that Mum was messy at all. She kept on top of all the things, but it was just like, you know, those pedantic things like wiping the corners of the windows and all the, like, making sure the furniture was exactly in line. So when you stood in the doorway and looked at the TV, the coffee table was exactly in line. So I've got that tendency, but I'm either one or the other. If I can't have that, I'm just like, oh, well, yeah. And I just don't bother at all. So, like, when my kids were young, especially, or in my bedroom growing up forever, oh, my gosh, I was a complete mess.
Yeah.
And so if I've got someone who's interacting with me at that level, and then I slowly learn to actually clean and tidy and keep on top of things, well, that's going to change that relationship, because I'm not who they thought I was, or I've grown past that stage. So depending on whether they're somebody who feels like they need to grumble at me, or if they're somebody who feels like they need to clean up after me or whatever, I'm not going to sit comfortably in their little box anymore. And so that relationship's going to change.
Yeah. And I'm going to share a story. And nobody knows this person, okay? I'm just going to say that now, because I've been in this community a long time. But this isn't about somebody in my community. It's a long, long time ago. I did have a friend.
Oh, well, that's special.
I did have a friend, and she rode a bike, so I thought she was pretty cool,
yeah.
You know what I mean, and I didn't ride, so I thought she was pretty cool. She had long black hair flowing in the wind. She was this typical, beautiful woman, but unfortunately she used to drop off all her problems at my door, like every mm-hmm. time she came around. I mean, it was okay to begin with, I think, Denise, you know, because I had lots of energy for it.
Yeah.
But then I found every time she came around, it was just this kind of like a dumping session. Mm-hmm. And when she left, I wasn't feeling happy anymore. I was feeling really quite down and drained. And I was probably in my 20s, so I was still quite young. So I'm quite proud of myself for having this wisdom back then. I don't know where it came from. But I decided that this friendship had to end. I just couldn't keep doing this, because as much as, I mean, I was excited about who she was as a person. Yeah. She loved to race her bike. She had this exciting kind of view of life, and she was vivacious. Is that the word?
Yeah. Yes.
She was bright and word. Full of life. And that's what attracted me.
Yeah.
And that's what I needed in my life.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, I was a great listening ear. And because I had those natural tendencies, and I'm a questioner, and I'd go, I question things. And but I felt that every time she left, I was just like drained, and I'd get a headache, and I just couldn't do it anymore. And I was brave enough to actually tell her.
Wow.
I know. I don't know where that came from. And she wasn't upset with me at all. I was really honest with her. I was just like, I just find it draining, I'm not getting any joy out of this. And, she needed somebody to offload to.
Mm.
And I couldn't be that person anymore. So we did drift away. And there was no animosity, no hard feelings or anything. We just kind of drifted away. But it was a lesson for me in boundaries. Mm-hmm. We might talk about that one day on here. Boundaries is a wonderful thing to have in your life. But it taught me that people affect us, and the things that they may dump at our door aren't always healthy for us, and you do need to kind of boundary that for yourself, so that you can get out what you want of a friendship, and that you're not being feeling down and left like, oh, I feel used.
Yeah.
I feel used, and I've got nothing left for my kids now.
Right.
You know, and so sometimes we have to make the hard choices in life just because it's not healthy for us.
Mm.
Wasted love, wasted time, wasted wasted yours and I wasted my warm field again. Unsaid words, unlived nights, unfelt feelings and uncrossed lines wanna feel.
Welcome back. You're listening to Marie and Denise. Kia ora, Denise.
It's like I'm saying hello again and again.
I know, but you know, I'm not sure everyone listens all the way through, so you know, we've got to introduce each other.
You were just talking about a friendship that you had that kind of went you know, it was for a season. Yeah. And again, linking back to the blog, I've got in here about some friendships exist because of a mutual season.
Mm.
It might be in a workplace or because of where you live. And when you change jobs, at first you might think that you'll keep in touch, but you find over time that without that work connection, the friendship dwindles. It's normal and it's okay. Other friendships will persist beyond the workplace. So we need to treasure those people because those are deeper connections. And one thing I was just thinking of now in the break is it's a good thing to talk about perhaps spheres of, like, we have close friends that we let into our circle, and we have people who we might have a really good friendship for a season, but those seasons come and go, and it's actually okay that sometimes people do come and go out of our lives, that we don't necessarily try and hold on to them just because they meant a lot to us in this season doesn't mean that they're going to be carried through into all the different seasons. And so we've got this difference between, so thinking of Faith Matters, you think of Jesus, he had his 12 disciples, so that's a pretty tight group, but within that he had Peter, James and John, who were his like three that kind of came everywhere with him. But then even outside of that, he had Mary, Martha and Lazarus, another little group of three who were really significant to him. So in different spheres of his life, he had like the really close, tight ones, and then he had like the 12 who he was sort of interacting with, pouring into a bit more intentionally, and then he had larger groups. He had the 70, and he had the this, and he had the that. Then he had the crowds that followed him, the 5,000, and so, and plus. So those people who are in that crowd group are not going to have the same insights that he's going to give to the 12 or to the 3. So I just thought that was an interesting thought that passed through my mind.
Yeah, and to give people, our friends even, we think we know them, but we're not in their lives every single day with them, and that we can change and develop, allowing people to grow. I find that I find individuals can stunt people's growth. Hello, Sean. Say hello out there.
Oh, he's out the window.
Hello. Yeah, stunt people's growth because they want to contain them in the box that they've always known them in.
Yes.
Yeah, and I think that's a really hard one. I've been in that, stuck in that, where people have tried to keep me in a box that I don't fit anymore. When I first noticed that that was happening, I think I tried to show people that I had changed.
Right.
And that didn't work because they still wanted to put me back in this box, you know. And so I had to learn, it's about the dots, you know. I had to learn actually more so what God was saying to me than what the people around me, maybe I might have been picking up from them, or, you know, them not allowing me to grow past where I was, which was really disturbing for me. And so I had to really knuckle in and have a great relationship there with my maker, because it was very difficult for me, because I had to not fall back into the patterns that people believed that I was in. And yeah, that was my encouragement to people out there: allow people to grow and change, notice it and call it out and go, man, you're just looking so much happier these days, or you seem really on top of the world, or, you know, I've seen you laugh a lot, you know, pick out something nice and pleasant to say to them. You know, you don't have to say, oh, I've noticed you've stopped smoking. No one ever notices that. You know what I mean? Like, you know, they might pick out something and go, oh, I've noticed you're doing that. Well, that's not very helpful. Just notice maybe the change in me and the personality that I'm developing more. I think growth is a wonderful thing. If you look at the disciples, they did not start out as strong men of faith. In fact, they're argumentative and angry and gnarly little human beings, some of them.
Actually, thinking about that, like, so the story of Jesus. So Jesus had these guys, the 12 particularly, that he was pouring into. But it got to a point that with him there, they relied on him too much. And he said, actually, I'm going. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. I'm going to send a helper, somebody who will lead you into truth. And he actually stepped out the picture for their good. I hadn't really thought about that from that angle before, but as far as a friendship goes, he actually removed himself because he could see that was better for the other person.
Yeah, because they needed to grow. They needed to experience the things that he was telling them, that they that was within them.
Yeah.
And with him there, they weren't experiencing that because they were relying on him. And why wouldn't they? I would too.
Yes.
Like, it's all good. I'll just follow behind you.
Yes.
I don't have to do anything. Yep. I'm just watching.
Our son actually, at age, it was just about 19, he was still 18, and he sat us down and he said, you know, I could, because we'd been encouraging him to, you know, think about what would be next. I'd been saying to my kids since they're four, you know, we're growing you to be, you know, good citizens, off you go, like preparing you for the world. And so at 18, he actually sat us down and he said, you know, I could do stuff, but say the lawnmower breaks down, I could do something about that, but I don't, because I know that you guys will once you find out about it. And so there's a whole lot of things that I could do, but I don't, because you guys will do it. So he said, I am thinking about moving out of home, but not because I don't want to be with you guys. I'm thinking about moving out of home because I can actually see that by being here, I'm going to stagnate and I'm just going to let you guys do stuff and I'm not going to grow.
Oh, he's got wisdom there.
I was like, what? You're 18 years old. What on earth? You've thought it through that much? But like, that was his thinking. And so, yeah, he made the conscious decision to move out of home and to go flatting because he wanted to grow. Yeah. I was just like, wow, good on you.
Yeah, but he's had some good teaching in him to be able to articulate that, which is, you know, parenting is one of the most wonderful things we'll ever do. So you can kind of see this is great. I mean, it's great that he said that, like Denise.
Yeah. I know. I was just like, whoa.
And he has left home? Or is
he left home within a few weeks of that and has flourished. So, wow. Yeah, great.
Yeah, because we need the challenge, don't we?
Mm.
Without the challenge, we're not going to do it. But to acknowledge that we need the challenge and then go to experience it, I think that's when we're actually living and, you know, doing life well. So I'm going to play one more song and then we're going to, we're going to head back in, I think.
Head back in and sign out.
And sign out. That's exactly what we're going to do.
Hello, maker of the moon. Your creation has inspired my every move. You're the science in the stars. There is beauty, there is fire in your eyes. Here we are, face to face, lost in wonder at the God of time and space. The universe declares your praise, singing holy, holy.
I can feel your heartbeat beating. I can hear my God is speaking. King of creation, breathe upon me. You can feel my heartbeat beating. You can hear my spirit screaming. King of creation, you amaze me.
Did you just hear that? Heaven maker of the moon, you were there when I was in my mother's womb. Wow, that is precious. I was going to leave us with that thought. That's very, very precious. So if you're on a faith journey, like me, Denise is already there.
No, I'll put your is mic that up why now. You didn't put my mic up, cheeky?
Who if I can do? Oh, look, I've got all the power right here. Nah, I didn't put your mic up because I wanted to say Denise is speaking at church this Sunday, and I am looking forward to it. She is an awesome teacher of the word and presenter of the word as well. And anyway, I just think she's awesome. So there you go. It's going to be great. So if you're on a faith journey like me and Denise, you're welcome to join us. And she will be there this Sunday. Hey, Denise.
It's good of me to turn up.
Yes, thank you. 10 a.m. Raglan Area School. We're going to have worship and... oh, we have communion and we have prayer and ministry time after the great sermon you're going to bring. You know, and you might wonder what that is. Well, sometimes we come in, you know, heavy loaded when we come into church. We've got things weighing on our minds. Sometimes we're excited and we've got, you know, we're just doing life really well, but other times we're carrying stuff. So to be able to get prayer for that, to have, that in our lives is a very wonderful thing. It brings a lot of peace into situations that can be quite chaotic. So that's what prayer and ministry is about at the end of our service. So, yeah, I encourage you to join us on Sunday. It's going to be a good one. So I'm going to head out with What a Time to Be Alive. Denise, anything you want to say before you go?
See you on Sunday.
Yeah, amen to that.
I'm not gonna lie, most of the pandemic I thought I might die. 6 feet deep with my ego and pride. What
What a time to be alive. Haven't even made it to 35. Now I feel like I might be in my prime. Sunny days come when you get through the night. What a time to be alive. Tiger and Serena made me cry. What a time.